in the first half hour here. I wanted to do something uplifting. I'm just, it's too much coronavirus and too much politics in the news and in our conversations lately. So we need to take a break every now and then. And it sounds like there's really going to be something cool happening here in central Vermont tomorrow, where in a whole bunch of public safety and first responder folks will be putting on a little parade on Granger Road in Berlin. That's the one that runs from Airport Road up toward, the health club there, the Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice. There's a sort of a branch of CVMC, a bunch of doctor's offices up there, and as well as places like K&W Tire, UPS, and FedEx are all up Granger Road. And there's going to be a whole parade tomorrow morning of public safety and first responder personnel, as I mentioned, coming down Granger Road past CVHH&H, Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice. A person's labor in normal times, going around and visiting people who need some home health care here in Vermont. They provide personal care services, nursing services, physical therapy, occupational therapy, all sorts of things like that, right in people's homes. Tremendous service, and that's in normal times. In the coronavirus crisis, they have really stepped up and been just an amazing bulwark of service to our community, and so they're going to get honored tomorrow by this parade going by their headquarters up there on Granger Road. And I wanted to talk to some folks about the thinking and the planning and all that good stuff that went into this. And we're going to be speaking, for instance, with Montpelier Police Chief Brian Pete. Really glad to get him on the show. First time he just came onto the job, I think, back in June. And so we're happy to have Chief Pete with us. I think he's on the phone. Chief, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here.
We're also going to be speaking with Alex Bogazewski. I hope I got that right. Alex, are you on the phone?
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for joining us. And I understand. Refresh me. You are what kind of work do you do for Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice?
I got my hands in a few different spots at Home Health. I'm a personal care attendant, which I started about a year ago this month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a community health worker, and then just most recently, I also do tele monitoring installs.
I see. Okay. Wow. They need you around because they got a lot of different stuff for you to do, it sounds like. I think we've got Emily McKenna on the line with us as well. She's a public affairs communications person with CVHH&H. Emily, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks. Thanks so much to the three of you for joining us. And I guess I'll start with Alex, if I could. And Alex, tell us a little bit about the how this came up and what led to the decision to have this little celebration tomorrow.
Well, I've worked in the fire service for a little over 10 years now, and probably as you remember, CVH kind of had something similar this spring, soon after the pandemic hit. All summer long, I've been kind of hoping maybe we could get one together. And I just always wanted to, our staff at Home Health is, have worked long days, long hours, and really taking care of our patients, and making sure they're really taken care of during the pandemic for those who are homebound. So, you know, I think this would be a good, I always want to do a little morale boost for, you know, the staff. And let them know they're actually really appreciated in the community.
And, hey, Alex, do us a favor, if you could. If you have a radio on, could you turn that down or off? Because I think we're picking up a little bit of an echo on your line. So,
is that sorry, I was on speaker.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks. Chief Brian Pete of the Montpelier Police, I understand that you and yours will be among the folks who are participating tomorrow. How did this come to pass?
Well, we've worked with Alex, and we've known Alex. So when Alex it came to us and said this was something, a thought that the folks were at the CVHH were thinking about, we wanted to jump on board immediately because we really value and respect what they're doing. Especially, I mean, we know how hard that job is. So anything that we can do to give back to our community and tell people that we care and support about them, we're going to jump that.
That's great. And, I mean, it seems like, you know, all of these are all just different styles of helping people. I mean, obviously CVHHNH has a strong healthcare angle, as well as, I mean, many of the other first responders, especially in the EMT end of things, are in the same, pretty much the same line of work, although, different levels of acuity maybe. And then and of course the local police and fire departments are also, I mean, that's their fundamental mission, is just to help people who are in distress. And, so let's all get together and have a parade. Sounds like a good idea to me. Now, Chief, I gotta ask you though, who the heck picked, 30th, I guess it'll be of October, when we are expecting some less than clement weather, shall we say.
I don't know. It's one of those things that just panned out that way to give everybody enough lag time to plan and move forward.
Yeah.
I think it's the best opportune times. And, but anyway, I think it's just going to, show our commitment to our support.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure the folks at CVHHNH will be quite appreciative. Emily, do you expect that there will be a lot of the members of the staff there outside and watching the parade go by rain, sleet, hail, or dark of night?
Well, as you know, Vermonters, and I will say especially home health care clinicians, we're kind of prepared for anything. So
mm-hmm.
I think that even if there is some inclement weather, we will be there with our masks on, socially distanced, with our signs, cheering the parade along. We have put the word out to our staff, and we will send out reminders today. We're going to have individually packaged cider donuts to entice people to come in out. And I hope they do, because we're humbled and we're so appreciative of this show of support. And to go back to your question about timing, I actually think it couldn't have come at a better time, as we kind of shift from the height of the pandemic and we go into cold and flu season and everything else that's going on. I think this is going to be the perfect, as you said, morale boost that we all need to kind of pick ourselves up and realize what a great community we live in, and how nice that we can all come together and celebrate the work that we're all doing. So I am really looking forward to it tomorrow.
Yeah, that's great. Alex, I wonder, you're somebody who is right on the front lines in a lot of the work you do, really going to people's homes and helping them out, getting the telemedicine stuff set up or providing that personal care and so on. And your own daily life has to have changed quite a bit in the face of the coronavirus pandemic over the past, 7 or 8 months or something. What's different for you now from the way things were before?
Honestly, not really too much. Because, like I said, with home health being an essential service, my schedule has not really changed.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I work part-time at Tractor Supply in Montpelier, so that's also considered essential business, so I work there a couple days a week. So my life has not really been turned upside down. But on my free time, like my one day a week that I have to myself on Sundays, was really when the governor first issued the stay home, stay safe order, really tried to adhere to that. And, my yard never really looked much better during the springtime when the first came out, you can't really sit much in the house without going a little bit crazy.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. It's people get outside, and a lot of folks are saying, well, as long as I stay on my own property, I'm okay, and technically following the rules and so on and so forth. Alex, I'm wondering, when you go to visit people in their homes and so on, I'm sure you're masked up, are they asked to wear a mask as well? That's the general rule, right?
Yeah, we have some cloth masks that we give to our clients. We ask them to wear it if possible.
Mm-hmm.
There are some who really medically can't, so we just, I'll be with a mask and a face shield, and we'll still socially distance in the home and as much as we possibly can, and to make sure the client is taken care for.
Yep. And do you find that most of your clients are, I mean, I know there's some division out there, frankly, you know, in our society. Some people are thinking that, all this coronavirus stuff is being way overblown and, people are, our president basically takes the kind of a dim view. He's making fun of masks again yesterday and that kind of permeates down through to the general population. Are you running into some of that among the folks you are meeting up with as you go out and visit their homes?
No, actually, every time before I even walk into the client's home, they're already masked up and ready for my visit. So even they have signs on the door before I enter the home of please wear a mask, social distance, and sanitize before entering the home. So
wow.
they're kind of more vigilant than really out in the public.
Wow, that's good for them.
More vulnerable.
Well, I was going to say is that obviously when you are elderly or have certain health conditions which do make you more vulnerable to the coronavirus, I'm sure it makes you more sensitive just as a general rule. Although you know a lot of other folks are trying to follow very healthy people are trying to follow the rules and make sure that they mask up when they go out and all that good stuff too. But I just, I've wondered about about our first responders and EMTs into the daily life and work of these folks. Let me put the question actually to Chief Brian Pete of the Montpelier Police Department. Chief, your police officers there, you're working with every day. They're going out on the beat wearing masks, right?
Yes.
And are there any negatives there? Are there any moments you're hearing about where normal law enforcement activities are interfered with by this at all, or has it become pretty much a routine part of the day and it's just what people do?
From our perspective, in the beginning, there were a lot of unknowns with COVID, and we're learning more and more every day. The state's doing a really awesome job of disseminating and communicating information to us, and it's helping us in our day-to-day operational planning. So we're really grateful for the efforts that have been going on by everyone in the state. As far as how we do things, it's part of our daily interaction with folks. We still do get complaints of people who are upset that there might not be other folks who are wearing masks, but fortunately we haven't seen it rise to the level of contention that we've seen in other places. I saw in the newspaper, in my old hometown in Chicago, there were a couple of people that stabbed a security worker for asking them to put a mask on. So fortunately we haven't seen that level of escalation here, but there are some folks that go against the grain every once in a while.
Yeah, and I mean, have your officers, when they encounter people they're trying to talk to about just investigating a minor crime or something, and they're talking to somebody on the street or on a front porch or something, do they ask the people they're talking to put on masks, and how does that go usually?
It's a unique day and age for law enforcement nowadays.
Yeah.
And so in these cases we just try not to de-escalate the situation. There's a lot of times that any questions that we may ask some people it may automatically just escalate the situation just our presence of being there, but in those instances we just take it upon ourselves to just we'll maintain social distancing. We'll wear our mask, and then we'll ask folks to comply. And if they don't, then we'll just continue to try to go upon the issue of which we were on the scene for.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to just say, okay, well, we're going to keep doing our business here, regardless of what happens. But I would think, I've actually thought about. I was thinking about this the other day when I was out driving around somewhere, and I said, if I got pulled over, I bet you I might score a couple points. if I got pulled over for driving a little too fast or something. Not that I would ever do that, but I would probably put on my mask just to kind of score a couple points with the officer who has to come to the window.
the thing that I've found, even in my own, even as a cop, because you should never try to I won't try to get out of you, get in more trouble trying to get out of it than you, you know, than what it is. But normally, you know, what dictates those stops is, hey, if everybody's cool and we all get along, most of the times you kind of get away with just a warrant. So,
and I think that, you know, that's just a step that shows, you know, you are concerned and you care about the situation as well as the safety of the officer. And I would think that would be, you know, set up some little mutual respect and appreciation can't hurt, rather. So,
I think it goes back to to what you were saying in the beginning, that we all need to care about each other. And I think that's that's what we need more of. That's why we're really excited about this.
Yeah. Hey, let's take a brief break here in the Dave Graham Show. We'll continue our conversation with Montpelier Police Chief Brian Peet with, I got to get the last name right here again. Alex Bogazewski of Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice, as well as Emily McKenna from CVH H&H in just a couple of minutes.
News Radio WDEV FM and AM. Now back to the Dave Graham Show.
We are talking with Alex Bogazewski and Emily McKenna of Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice, as well as Montpelier Police Chief Brian Peet, and they're among the folks going to be involved in a parade tomorrow. I think it's kicking off about 8:30 in the morning, if I recall correctly, and on Granger Road in Berlin, a whole bunch of public safety personnel, EMTs, for first responders, etc., will be coming down Granger Road past the headquarters of CVH H&H, essentially to acknowledge and thank the healthcare workers who have been still getting out to people's homes all over the county and talking to people about their health and making sure that especially our elders and people who are infirm, homebound, etc., are checked in on and get some regular health care, as well as in some instances personal care. You know, some people who get elderly and infirm enough they need help with things like cooking and cleaning and bathing and all that stuff. So it's the kind of work that is so crucial, and it goes on day in and day out in our communities all the time. And you know, I occasionally like to get CVH H&H folks on here because I just feel like we all ought to stand up and applaud occasionally. It's not easy work, and but they are at it and they stick with it, and some of them are at it for decades, you know, long careers of just going out and helping people. And wow, what a thing. So anyway, we've been talking a little bit about the special challenges of this coronavirus crisis era for people like police officers. Chief Peet was talking about how his officers try to negotiate and navigate their way through just going out and meeting with people they have to see, some of whom I gather wear masks and others who don't, and et cetera. And then Alex Bogazewski was talking to us about how it sounds like most of the folks that are being visited in their homes are grateful enough for the visits that they will mask right up and do their part to ensure everybody stays safe. Let me start with you, Alex, actually, and ask you, what is your biggest sort of worry about the coronavirus crisis as you do your work going forward? Is there anything that is particularly, I hope this scenario doesn't unfold.
So, you know, I'm worried about getting it myself just due to the clientele that I serve. So I take extra precautions in my home and personal life just because I deal with the vulnerable adults, and if they get it, you know, they don't have a lot of good things against them. So, you know, like their age and if they have their health condition. So, you know, if they get it, they're not going to really do so well. So I have to, keep myself healthy and make sure when I go to work, we do have screening questions for staff. So, you know, I gotta make sure I answer those the best I can. And, you know, if I don't feel well at all, I'll stay home, just because I work with, you know, obviously the vulnerable population. So, and, you know, that's, I guess, my biggest fear is I do not want them to get sick.
Yeah, you would not want to be the person bringing coronavirus to them. Obviously, that would be a worst, a worst case scenario. Chief Pete, what are your thoughts? Not that I want to go totally doomsday here, but I mean, what are we really trying to avoid here?
I think we're trying to, you know, first and foremost, to do our best to take care of each other, and then to because we're all interdependent, and I think this whole pandemic, while it's bad, I think it shows that that interdependency, that need for us to be there for each other and with each other, and that gives me hope in that, and I think that to make sure we get the point across is to personalize it, that like to imagine, I look at it and imagine like Alex was saying, if I caught it, and doing the recommendations and everything that I could do to prevent myself from getting it, I'd second guess myself every time if I got my daughter or my wife sick or my parents or anything else to that effect, and that's just something I just don't, me personally, don't want to have to experience in life. So just take those extra steps to mask up, to wash your hands, to maintain social distancing, and we will get through this.
Yeah, I actually, we've talked about people who kind of don't like the idea of wearing masks and so on the program here a couple times. And one of the things that's occurred to me over time is that someone in your work, Chief Pete, and military personnel, certainly firefighters, all don lots of gear every day, and all in the name of protecting other Americans. When you think about the 40-pound air pack that firefighters wear, and all the gear on a police officer's belt and so on, it just strikes me that with that kind of service and ethic of bravery and so on, you'd think that it wouldn't be that much to ask people out there to put a little piece of cloth over their nose and mouth. Am I onto something there, or is this crazy? What do you think, Chief?
Yeah.